I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. If you grew up in the 80s, then Andrew McCarthy was probably a key part of your weekend movie watching, with films like Pretty in Pink, Mannequin, St. Elmo's Fire, and Weekend at Bernie's. In recent years, he started directing and writing travel columns, but he's never strayed too far from acting. He's now a recurring character on USA's White Collar, playing Victor Adler. This is one of those rare times he's played a bad guy, and he's great in the part. I talked to Andrew on a conference call about his new character, what roles he regrets, and how his directing has helped him in front of the camera. This site takes a huge amount of work, so anytime you support our advertisers, it's always appreciated. And now, here's Andrew.
How did you get involved with White Collar?
That was pretty easy. They just called up and asked if I would like to jump in. I thought the part was fun. I'd seen the show. I liked the show. I thought it was, you know, good fun and elegantly shot. And yes, it was pretty simple. They just called and asked if I wanted to jump in. I thought it was a nice part, so I did.
So, what was the most challenging part of playing this character?
Yeah, that I was the old mentor. I'm suddenly the old mentor. I'm like, huh, I used to play your part. It seems like 5 years ago. Now I'm the old mentor. You know, I hate to say it, it sort of fit me like a glove, this part. I eventually turned into being a bit of a bad guy, as it were. But, you know, you try to find something charming and likable about these people, and I didn't find anything hard about him. I thought he was just good fun and well written.
Now, what's it like for you playing the villain? Because I know aside from like that one movie you did with Rutger Hauer, you don't really play the bad guy often.
I don't know that there's any difference between the bad guy and the good guy, except the bad guy's more fun and gets better lines. And I guess before just finding something that sort of, because no bad guy thinks they're a bad guy. It's all completely justified and makes absolute sense. This is the only way that one could behave and because to serve one's needs. So I think it's kind of, you know, there's great freedom in playing the bad guy. You don't have to have all that obligation to sort of do all the morally right things. It's easy and fun.
How do you think the perception of television has changed in terms of better options for acting?
Well, from when I started acting 100 years ago in the early 80s, you only did the television show your movie career with those. Now, I'd say most of the best writing is on television. And movies are a different beast entirely. You know, there's the big blockbusters, and then there's occasionally the little interesting movies that come along to somehow get made. And 12 people are in them. But I think now television is all sorts of amazing roles for people on television, and you know, like the best writing I think is on television. And there's tons of it. I mean, I think it's the real golden age of television.
Is there a role that you regret doing, and is there a role that you regret not playing in your career?
Yeah, I'm sure there's tons of them. Yeah, there's some bad movies I did which I didn't do. I think there must have been roles I regret. You know, they did a Mannequin too, and they asked me to do it, and I didn't do it. I think I probably should have done it, because it was sort of nice fun, that movie. It was a long time ago, but we probably shouldn't have done a Weekend at Bernie's too, but the first one was very funny, the second one was whatever it was. Sure, I'm sure there are. I sort of don't really think, but I don't really sort of look back in that way, or sort of, you know, have much nostalgia either way for any aspect of my life, really. So I don't have a good answer. I don't have a juicy answer. But
are the main differences between doing a movie role and a TV role?
TV's faster, period, you know, and sometimes that's a good thing. TV usually uses two cameras, so which is, from an acting point of view, great, because you can do the sort of over-the-shoulder and the close-up at the same time, so you don't go, I was better when we were in the over-the-shoulder and the close-up's not as good, you know. So it's faster from just with your time, because in, you know, TV, you've got to shoot 8 pages a day, on movies, you could shoot anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 or 5, depending on the budget. But I have to say, personally, I like just run and gun. Let's shoot. So I don't. I enjoy the TV pace. You know, like, you're always under the clock, but that's not the actor's problem.
Right.
The director's
right.
problem, but it's not the actor's, you know. So there's no real difference. The acting is the acting, you know, and certain aspects of it, you know, sometimes in TV you have to shoot more standard, obvious coverage, you know. Okay, now we have to do the master and the over-the-shoulder, and now we have to get the close-up. Where in movies you don't have to do that sometimes. You can just leave it in one, whereas in television you're very rarely allowed to just do one wide take. You know, you have to cut to the close-up in television, just the way the nature of the beast, you know. So sometimes the imagination of shots that you're allowed in film, I miss. But like White Collar has a really interesting visual look, and it's one of the few shows that go really, really wide, and they shoot New York sort of in all its glory, and their camera's usually low and always moving, and so it has a real dynamic. It's one of the things I liked about the show that I wanted to be involved with, because I thought it didn't just punch to the close-up, you know, and there's some really, very rarely do they go to the close-up. In fact, and when they do, it means something, you know, it's like a movie in that way. And so they have a very sort of spacious, sort of epic look about it, which I think is really interesting and unique.
I agree.
So I like that. But the acting is the same. You're acting, you know.
You've played so many incredible characters. Can you talk about a couple that have meant the most to you?
I was in a film that was directed by Claude Chabrol, this Frenchman. I played Henry Miller in a film called Quiet Days in Clichy a long time ago that I liked quite a lot. I thought Heaven Help Us, that part I played in that, which is a movie I did very early on in the mid-'80s, is my favorite movie I did of that period of time, with all those sort of, you know, all those Pretty in Pink and St. Elmo's Fire and all that. I thought that movie was actually the one that was the most interesting to me, although I thought the part in St. Elmo's Fire was a terrific part for me at that time. That was a perfect match of me in part. I've done some parts in the theater that I really enjoyed doing. Those are probably more stay with me longer, because plays just sort of live, whereas movies are done. You know, you do it, it's done. They lived with the viewer for a long time. I mean, people come up and quote movies to me. Did that line change my life? And I'm like, yeah, I don't remember saying it. You know, so and people quote movies to me all the time. And not a day goes by when a trucker at a red light doesn't scream out a line from Weekend at Bernie's to me. I go, hey, where's Bernie? You know, I love doing Weekend at Bernie's. I thought that was quite fun and stupid, and that kind of comedy I really enjoy doing. I was always surprised no one asked me to do more of it afterwards. Maybe not, if they saw it. And, yeah, I mean, I've liked a lot of the parts that that I've played. You know, it's always sort of like the next one is the favorite one, but that's not always true, you know? So, I thought this part was quite fun. You know, it was just sort of delicious and juicy and without any sort of responsibility, like I said, for setting the table. I didn't have to set the table. I just came in and ate dessert. You know, so that was nice.
We are wondering, this is now a couple of shows you've done for USA, so is there something special about the USA shows or the network in general that appeals to you as an actor?
They're just very wise and asked me to work for them. Yeah, I think actually the USA shows are interesting. They have an interesting formula that they work with, and they have, I don't know how to answer that, because they're just appealing to me in a certain way. They're playful. You know, they're not too, they don't take themselves too seriously. They usually have a very interesting visual style, which I'm attracted to. Yeah, I think the tone of them is of interest to me. I like the tone that they have. And, you know, when you work with anyone, you just build a relationship with people, and then they go, hey, let's, you know, you're on somebody's mind, and then go, hey, you know, let's do that. Oh, yeah, okay, they were nice to work with, yes, let's work with them again. And, oh, he was fine, let's get him back, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that accounts for more of people's jobs than people actually realize. You know, it's a bit out of sight, out of mind, or, yeah, he was fine, and they were great, and let's, that worked out fine, let's do it again. I think Hollywood works that way hugely, and people don't sort of, and there isn't as great a plan at work, as many people would think. People would just sort of go, yeah, that worked, let's do it again.
You've spent a lot of time behind the camera now. Do you find that your directing experience has added another dimension to your performance in front of the camera now?
I'm a much easier actor to work with now. It's absolutely true. I mean, if a director wants me to go stand in the corner and stand out of my head and face the other way, I'll go, yeah, fine, that's fine, I can do that. I mean, I understand, particularly in television, where television is like, wham, we got to do this now. I understand you want to stand by the window, but I really need you to stand over here because of time. And so, yeah, frankly, I'm just, I'm more, a much more pliable actor. And I understand, you know, I got into directing because I liked sort of the whole aspect of it, and I liked the whole story. I got a little tired of just worrying what my hair looked like, you know, so I liked sort of the whole picture, and I enjoy that aspect of it, and I enjoy the camera and the different shots and the angles and that kind of thing. I mean, I love acting when I'm doing a good part, but I love doing, thinking about the next thing, what are we doing next, what are we doing next, and okay, you're doing that, so we're going to go over here, and we're going to shoot over here, and we're going to do that, you know, so I find that aspect of it very engaging, and I really enjoy it. Sometimes it's great to just act where you're just like, okay, that was easy. You know? Although acting is a very funny little thing because it's just an artificial thing, making a movie. You know, you do, it's a long time for all these people milling around doing everything, and then everything stops. It's all about that one tiny little thing that happens in front of the camera for 14 seconds right now. And so trying to get very precise with it and trying to actually achieve what you want to achieve in that little instant is, you know, when you actually do it, instead of just being fine, it's quite satisfying. Most of the time we're fine, and you go through it, oh, yeah, that was good, you know, very workmanlike, and it was fine. But I find that the directing is expansive in a way, whereas the acting is more precision, and it's the exact opposite sort of use of energy. So if that makes any sense. So I enjoy them both. One sort of influences the other. I certainly am a better director because I've been an actor, because I certainly understand every actor's dilemma and resistance, and because I have them all, and different difficulties actors have and why they don't want to do things, and the actors usually don't know why they don't want to do something. But I kind of always go, well, why wouldn't I want to do that? Oh, that's why. Okay. You know what? You're right. Why don't we go over here and do this? You know, it's often they don't know their lines. That's usually the primary reason why you'll get resistance from an actor, because they don't know their lines, and they don't want to cop to that to themselves or anyone else. And when you sort of acknowledge that, go, you know what? I'm just going to do the first two lines from this angle. They're like, oh, great. You want me over here? Fine. No problem. And that's a very obvious sort of thing, but there are other resistances and sort of difficulties that actors have that I didn't have them all. I'm such a defensive, resistant actor at times that I know, I always just sort of go, why would I behave like that? Oh, I know what to do for that. What would I want someone to do? You know? And so I'm certainly a better director because I've been an actor. And like I say, I'm a more pliable actor because I've had to deal with actors from a director.
I wanted to find out from you if you have a really memorable moment from appearing as an actor on the show so far.
You know, this is the thing you need to do when you act on these shows. You have to remember this incident and go, okay, this is my anecdote when they ask me. And I don't. Well, I can try and think of one particular, but I don't. You know, like I was just sort of talking about, there's a scene with Matt where he comes in and sits down with me at a table. There's nothing interesting or about it except that it was just, we just sort of fell into sync and sort of captured it nicely, you know, as opposed to just, so there's no clever anecdote about it. It was just one moment where we kind of had one take that it was just like, ah, this. And we both looked at each other afterwards, yeah, yeah. And you know, it was really just a nice moment, because when you act, if you do a movie, say you have maybe two good days, you have two really bad days, and you have about 20 days that are just going to work. And you just sort of do it. And so when you actually have those instants where it's, and that's fine. It's like movie making and TV making. It's like, you know, it's making a donut. You know, and it's a great donut factory job. It's a great job, but it's, you know, you're making the donuts. And so when you actually have those instants where it's, and there's no reason why it happens and why what that you can point to and go, why did that just happen? You know, why did you just to recognize it and appreciate it, what it does. And usually it's no good for camera and they have to do it again. So you're like, ah, all right. And then you don't have it. The moment's over, you've lost it. But that's movie making.
With all the activities and cool things you've been doing, you know, you seem to be completely enjoying your life. If someone offered you a series regular role, would you take it?
Yeah, I mean, I do get to do at the moment, in the last couple of years, I sort of, you know, my life to do, so I have other interests that, you know, I really enjoy the directing, and I enjoy very much the travel writing, and so I like having different outlets for my life. But I guess the simple answer would be yes, absolutely. If I found the right thing, and people, you know, the good people involved, and preferably in New York, because I live in New York, and, you know, my kids are in school and all that stuff, so, you know, but yeah, sure, because I think nowadays you can really create something over a period of time in television, you know, that I would find interesting. I was on Such a Lipstick Jungle for a couple of years, and while that was on, and I really enjoyed doing that. I just enjoyed the character. I always thought you'd get sort of bored with the character, but I found that very, I liked that character a lot, and I, if you have the right part, I think, and you're with the right people, I think it could be a really nice way to spend several years, yeah, for sure.
And my follow-up question is, just in general, what's your advice to actors?
I don't know. I'm never the one to give advice. I wouldn't give advice to people. I mean, you know, I just wouldn't really give advice to people. People act because they have to act, you know. And I acted when I was a kid because it was what I found that made me feel most like the way I wanted to feel. So it was the way out or a way in for me. And so it saved my life in certain ways and changed my life, certainly, and gave a form and structure to my life. You know, acting's a funny racket. And it's been very, you know, good to me in certain ways and heartbreaking in other ways, you know. And it's a long road to sort of trudge in any, you know, when you're at it for a while. But I don't really have advice. I mean, if you have to act, then you act. If you don't, you can do something else you can do that you really enjoy doing. Go for it.
One of our viewers wanted to know how your extensive travel and experiences with other cultures influenced you as an actor.
Well, now you get me on my soapbox. I mean, you know, I can give you a short answer, but let alone as an actor, as a human being, I mean, Mark Twain had that great line, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. You know, and that's it. You know, Americans, what, 28% of Americans have passports, and half of those have used them? I mean, it's appalling. America, and possibly the world, would be a hugely different place if Americans traveled. America is such a sort of amazing country, so we don't need to go. Like, here I am skiing down these mountains here, so I don't need to go to Switzerland to do it. But Americans are so fearful of the world, you know, and so consequently, when people are fearful, they judge it, and judge it negatively, and just and push it away. And so I think that's a shame, you know, and that's a blanket statement and a gross generalization, but I think it's pretty darn accurate, frankly. And so for me, for how's it affected my acting, it's just made me a better person, a more sort of open person to some degree. So that can't help but affect my acting, I would hope. And all, you know, our experience is just sort of by osmosis influence who we become and how, who we are. So I don't know. I can't point to certain ways. Oh, I saw this girl when I was in Laos and it reminded me of that. You know, I don't have, although there are certain things, like I saw some sculpture by Rodin when I was in Paris at the museum of the, and I imitated that shape as a sort of a psychological gesture for some movie I was doing once, and I thought it was wonderfully effective. So, but it doesn't, I can't point to a literal way how it's affected my acting, except it's affected my life in a positive way, so it's given me some joy, and so when I find joy in acting, I'm a better actor. You know, when people act and they're miserable, you can tell. Dude, just stop, you're so miserable. But, so there's probably a non-answer to your question.
Oh, that's great, thank you. What was it like working with cast? We talked to Willie Garson earlier, and he said that he didn't have any scenes with you, but it was fun to have you on set. What was it like working with this cast?
It's always best to not have scenes with me, you know, and then you can... That was great! Yeah, it was great. No, the cast is great, you know, because I had been working in television on, you know, girl shows, frankly. I've been working on Lipstick Jungle, and then I've been directing a lot of Gossip Girl, so they're all sort of female-focused and female-driven, largely, and so the pace of the show is different, and it's about slightly different things. These guys are like, okay, let's shoot. You know what I mean? The ladies are like, wait, wait a minute, now that, can we get makeup in? You know, it's a different energy and a different vibe. And so the guys are just, you know, they're great. They're relaxed. They're happy to be there. They love doing the show. They know the show's good. They know they're good on the show. So it's nice when people are in a moment of success and enjoying success and not being miserable over it. Because, you know, you see it all the time. These people, they're so lucky to be doing what they're doing. And they just, for some reason, adopt this posture of misery about it. It's just like, fuck yourself, you know? And so you just say, why are you doing that? You know, and that's not the case in this show. The guys, like, everybody on that show when I was there, very happy to be there. You know, and they do the work, and sometimes the day's long, whatever. That's the work. That's what you do. But, no, it's just quite, it was a joy to be around, you know? It was just an easy, sort of straight ahead. There wasn't a lot of neurotic complications on the set, which is always nice. You know, it's not always the case. So it was quite refreshing and nice. And I think it shows on the show. The shows are sort of twinkle about it, you know? And I think that's, you know, one of the things that's most attractive about the show, and the people, even if they can't point to it in the show, why they like it, I think that's one of the reasons. You know, it has a little sense of delight and mischief about it. It's nice.
Okay, how did you get started with your travel writing? How's that?
Now, there's one I can answer. Rob, I'm an easy one. I used to travel a lot, a great deal, before, particularly before I had kids. And, you know, I thought travel changed my life. And so I met to the editor of a magazine, National Geographic Traveler, and at a party, and I said, let me write for your magazine. Most travel articles kind of suck in that. And he said, can you write? I said, well, I don't know. You'll tell me, but I can tell a story. That's what I do for a living. And that was a good answer. So he gave me an assignment for an article, and then I did that, and it went well, and then it just sort of expanded and grew out of that. So that's how it started. You know, it was a passion of mine, something I'd wanted to do. I enjoy good travel literature. I think it's a maligned form. I think like Paul Theroux and Peter Iyer and these kind of people were interesting writers and really write about some interesting things when they travel. So I was interested in it, and I find it taps into sort of the same kind of creativity that when I'm acting well in an interesting project. It's the same thing to me. It's like I don't see any difference between the two friends. You know, I've been traveling sort of through acting my whole adult life, and you know, and walking into situations without knowing anything and then beginning over all the time. So it's a similar dynamic, and so I certainly find it fuels my acting in a certain way.
Thanks, Andrew, and thank you guys for listening. Please tell your friends about us and keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, columns, and resources. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.